So Bell sent one too? Bell?
Joe's here.
Red is here?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said he's in his office.
Is there anything gonna be on land use? Or 15? Or the 8th, when is that?
Next week is the 8th. But we have night council anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So that, we just.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting.
That's why they were trying to do it on Saturday.
Where's Karen? She's never gonna live that down.
Well, really.
Is Red coming?
I was gonna say we can do it once, get started, and then go backwards, go out of order.
Well, you could do that.
That's what I was thinking. We could just, let's just get started right now. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Council Tackett, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, and my aide Ruby Dillmore, and myself. And the first thing, okay, and Councilman Reda.
Motion approved, the minutes of previous meetings.
Moved, is there a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. And here we go. Who goes?
We're gonna have Mike Harris start off the presentation today with the SIC code. He'll explain exactly what that is.
Mike Harris, Special Services. We're gonna be introducing an ordinance, I think it should be the second meeting in September, dealing with, that makes modifications to Chapter 38, Article 2, Section 500. That deals with the way we bill commercial sewer customers. It's really just a housekeeping change, nothing really substantial. There should be no fiscal impact at all from it. But basically, this section of the code categorizes sewer users into five different categories. Category A, people are the major users, the industries. The county gives out every once a quarter for 7 days, and we sample them. We sample their BOD, their TSS, and their flow to generate their sewer bills. All those things have a cost associated with them, so the more BOD, the more suspended solids, the more system, the more flow, the more it costs us to treat the wastewater. So that's the, you know, the large industries. Category C is our regular residential users. They pay a fixed rate, same with apartments. Category E are contract users. But this focuses on Category B. Category B users are Class B users, are categorized into 15 different classifications based on their SIC code. There was an extensive study done back in the 70s that calculated what people's impact on the system was based on their SIC code, whether you're a truck stop or a fast food restaurant, you know, or whatever. So we've, since that was put into place, we've been referring to the 1978 SIC codes. That the last update of this SIC or standard industrial classifications happened in 1987. So this change to the codes reflects that we're going to be using the 1987 SIC codes. Even though the 78 and 87 are the same, we're just going to, you know, reference the 87. Also, certain SIC codes fall into two different classifications in the code. They can be either, you know, billed one rate or the other. And there was a list called the SIC land use correlation list that existed. That was written back in like the 70s as well, handwritten in places. When a new user came on board, somebody would go in with the SIC code, and then that further defines certain SIC codes, whether they should be in one category or the other. We've updated that services policy, and the new code change references the special services policy as well. So it's basically two updates to bring things up to date. No real change in how we're going to be billing people. No, should be no fiscal impact. So if there's any questions.
Any questions? Any Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Can I talk about billing, but just ask a question that's not necessarily related to this specific billing?
Ask the question.
Go ahead, ask it, they may not answer it.
And if Mike doesn't know it, I represent the finance state, though, but he may have.
Well, for over a year now, we've been talking about looking at revising residential code billing. Is that any of that going through your department, through finance? I mean, are we still in any discussion over that?
Dave Delgrande, Finance Office. We have not given that an assault yet on changing the way we calculate sewer bills. We're hoping to move into that process maybe in 17, maybe in 18, but for 17 at this point, maybe a little bit too late in the process to come back to council with a whole revised look on how we calculate sewer bills.
Right, and I understand that, and I understand that we really need to do it like the year ahead of the billing cycle,
right.
But we've been talking about this for, 2 years now?
Yeah, easy.
Easy 2 years, right? So I would personally like to see this done so that, understanding that you can't hit it in the next billing cycle, but I would like it done within a time frame that you could get it into the following billing cycle. Because this is, I think everybody agreed in the last discussion that how we charge residential customers is a very convoluted process that nobody can really understand when you try to go and explain it to the public. It's very, very hard to get that concept across. And we don't do this for commercial. It's pretty much you pay for whatever that percentage is. And it just seems to me that you could figure out what a residential customer is paying, what their flow is, and what percentage of that equates to the price that they're paying now. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Councilman Cartier?
So the SIC code is governed by an organization. I think it's, I would just Google it. Another organization, and they last updated this in 1985, and we're going to bring it current to 1985.
Yeah, Mike Harris Special Services. It's 1987, actually.
87.
It is run by another organization. They have abandoned the SIC code to move to the new NAICS codes.
Yeah, okay. I see
The NAICS codes don't translate one-to-one to the SIC codes, and they're actually more fine-tuned, so it'll be almost impossible to make the correlation between the two groups. We decided to stick with the SIC codes. EPA is still using SIC codes. The U.S. Securities Commission, Exchange Commission, is still using the SIC codes. So
so the NAICS now runs that system, but the last time they were updated is just strictly SIC was in 1987.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was the bottom.
All right.
Councilman Retta.
Thank you. I'd like to get back to what Councilwoman Patrick said about the billing. Is there any reason that the billing is so hard to do monthly, or what we've been talking about?
Dave Delgrande, Finance Office. Going to a residential billing on a monthly basis for sewer. I haven't been involved in the whole process with our financial systems in regards to whether or not our system can handle a monthly billing process. I'd have to go back to talk to CFO Koo to see what our capabilities are and what is possible and what is not possible at this point.
Okay, well, I'm just a little confused on what we can't do to or not you specifically, but the finance department has to look into how we're going to bill. I mean, we can't set up a program to change it to monthly or
I'd have to go back and look and see what what we are capable of doing. I am not 100% familiar with our billing process on more on the billing and collection side with Ben Barber's group. He would have the most information of where our capabilities are system wide. I'll go back and talk to Bruce and Barber about that.
Councilman Smiley.
I don't know if we're all topic on topic or whatever, but when it comes to monthly billing, I'm just being clear. I don't care for monthly billing, but as you said previously, any resident can send payments in to go into their account if they want to.
Right. Yes.
But if you're going to look into monthly billing, let's be realistic. Part of that analogy has to be, what will the increased cost be, and what adjustments will we have to make to the sewer rate in order to compensate and pay for that monthly bill?
Correct, yes.
Everything there's a cost, but yep. As you said before, and this is what I've been telling them at lunch, you know, it goes for property tax or whatever, you can always send money in and put it into your account. I think the only one you can't pay in advance is the Marva Power, because it won't take money online in advance.
Right, so right now, we have over...
But the cost factor has to be part of it.
Correct, we have over 100,000 sewer customers to date, maybe about 110,000, so... We're sending out 110,000 bills a year, and now we're going to go into 1.2 million bills a year. And there's going to be an inherent cost with the management and of all that. So, I'll go back and talk to Mr. Group about that possibility and what our capabilities are today with our current system.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Cartier.
Just to be clear, I wasn't necessarily specifying monthly billing, although I know that that's been talked about around this table now that most of the water companies are going to a monthly billing process. I just think that overall we need to change how we look at billing our customers. I think when we went through that whole fiasco a couple of years ago where nobody could guarantee that what we were actually charging was right or wrong, where we refunded eventually people, but we couldn't even charge those that were under billed because we couldn't guarantee that we knew exactly what that bill should be. I think in my mind that creates a problem that the world is going to look at and say, if you can't figure out who you underbilled for how much, how can you guarantee that what you're billing us is correct? And I just think that we need some sort of formula that's a little easier to process. Maybe that's just based on flow. Monthly billing, part of it, but I think another issue that at some point is going to have to be addressed also. But my main concern is just figuring out a better way of billing people that's more understandable and that is based basically on a percentage of their flow.
Okay. Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, I mean, this is the crux of the matter with billing for sewer because, you know, we use some sort of baseline based on your water usage. Well, not all the water that people use necessarily goes down the sewer system. They water their grass or water their gardens. I don't know how industry works, you know. I don't know if industry has water usage. Of course they do. They have water usage that doesn't end up in any sanitary sewer, so it's a...
But that's why we do the calculation.
The percentage, but it's an arbitrary concept.
Right.
No matter how you cut it.
Right.
You know, and the idea is, for me, you know, you have we need to run it as a utility. The cost, we have a series of costs that need to be met, and somehow we have to have a formula that, you know, which is fair, although there is a sense of arbitrariness in the whole thing, that at least accounts for the cost that we have, and the billing should reflect the cost. So it's not an easy situation to figure out, I don't believe. I never water my lawn, you know.
Neither do I.
So, you know,
I don't bathe.
I don't want it to grow.
You ain't lying.
I do walk
duty
in the rain.
Well, your grass is being watered, right?
Next discussion.
Yeah, now that we're done, I don't think any of us water, it sounds like none of us water our lawns. I'm trying to get it not to grow. I want my other crops to grow.
Weeds grow good.
Yeah, they do.
You can mow them too. Any, the public have any comments? Okay, let's move on to park maintenance costs.
Paul Johnson will be doing the presentation in our package and manager of special services. I'd like to do a...
Can I just announce?
Interesting, how you want to go, and here's how my day went. Mike Clayton mailed me the PowerPoint December 16th. Rather hectic morning, like any other day. So at 12:20, I open up the presentation, and I start looking at it, figuring what questions would I be asking. And I look at one category, and I go, this can't be right. This is obviously a mistake. So I called the Green Trust, the Soybean Johnson, and I said, guys, how is it that we only spent last fiscal year, FY15, $1,910 in material for Glasgow? It cost us that much to change the mulch. So everybody's trying to figure out how that can be. At about 5 minutes of one, I said, well, let's contact the individual who would input the information. Okay, maybe they have something to say with this one. Because I have none. And they said, by the way, I'm uncomfortable with this number. Plus, I'm not sure how all the numbers are, so let's modify the presentation. So you're going to see the workload by percentage. So Paul made contact with the crew chief one. Okay, this is where late gets complicated. We are in transition, as everybody knows, from the Hanson system to the CityWorks system. Most of sewers is on CityWorks. The warehouse went to CityWorks and bought by Hanson on July the 1st, 2014. The crew chief one, doing his job, is ahead of schedule because he is inputting into the CityWorks system all the things he gets in the warehouse. So that's how, my question is, how do we get $1,900 in this year? Was it somebody green carding and just putting it into the Hanson system because that's what he thought he was supposed to do, but he doesn't do it all the time? Or was it carrier? But that's besides the point. So I do owe Councilman Smiley another presentation, which will have all the numbers that he asked for, now that I am comfortable with the numbers. But what we see today is a presentation with percentages of work. It doesn't go into the dollars. So we'll get that back to you next time.
Councilman Smiling.
Now, I just want to say I thank you for not getting finance involved, because it's a much clearer explanation than we probably would have gotten. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me, Wayne.
Just want Penrose Councilman Hollins is here for the record, and you're the sacrificial lamb, man.
Ready? Good afternoon, Paul Johnson, property manager, special services. We have about 10 slides to go through that breaks out the cost that GM Merritt just spoke about. The first slide there is actually starting in FY13, which is carousels. And the operating costs for FY13 were $297,158 and some change. And as you can see, the percentage is broken down there on the right. The biggest portion from a park standpoint is policing, trash debris, snow removal, so forth and so on. The biggest percentage is obviously work by other sections. So the work orders and the cost that we're grabbing is from a department-wide basis, not just from property maintenance. So the next slide is actually Glasgow for FY13, $274,113, pretty comparable. And again, our biggest expense is police and trash debris, snow removal. Work by other sections dropped off a little bit, down to 18%. I suspect that's because the park's still under construction. It's pretty much relatively new. It doesn't require as much maintenance. Jumping to 14, 342-255. Again, the percentages are pretty consistent. Policing trash, the biggest expense for property maintenance. Work by other sections, 37%.
Councilman Smiley.
Park is this.
This is carousel for FY14.
You're saying, I mean, for Glasgow versus carousel, you're comparing the cost of the slide.
Correct. The one in bold is actually the one we're looking at, so we're looking at carousel FY14.
Right.
Yep.
Glasgow versus.
Shouldn't be versus.
Any other questions before we move on?
So war.
Okay. The next one is Glasgow FY14, 255, 857. Again, the percentages stay pretty consistent throughout. We move up to 15 for carousel, which is 309, 262 and some change. And Glasgow for FY15, 218, 651, some change. Okay, and then we were also asked for a report on graffiti and vandalism at the two parks, and this is a combined effort between what we had in the system and actually coordinating with the folks over in public safety. So that's what they had to run down in the system. And at the end, I have some handouts, and I can kind of explain why. You know, you probably think that the graffiti and vandalism would be much higher, but we have a pretty good working relationship with the Brooklyn Terrace Civic Club, and they're an extension of the anti-graffiti brigade that Councilman Weiner started back a few years ago. They're very proactive, very aggressive, and they're out there tackling things before we even know about it, quite frankly, except for if it's suspected to be gang related or hate related, then it's turned over to us and we get the gang unit from the county police involved before it's covered or cleaned up. But I have some handouts for that at the end if anybody's interested. Again, there's some more data from what was pulled out of the system. That's pretty much it. Any questions?
Councilman Smiley and then Councilman Carter.
So, even though they're the larger regional parks, the vandalism that takes place there is just about comparative to what we're having at the neighborhood parks.
It's pretty comparable. Generally, vandalism.
The types other than we don't seem to be having.
It's pretty consistent. It kind of.
Playground is not being torched down there.
Nah, it helps having a parks crew on site from 7 to 3, obviously. There's that added layer of security there. Unfortunately, we put a playground in. It's almost like a cost of doing business. You're going to expect somebody with a permanent marker or some type of vandalism to occur that we respond to, but nothing along the lines of setting it on fire or completely destroying it. Absolutely not. I think it's pretty consistent with most of our parks.
This just goes to prove what I said. People from the 7th District aren't using that park.
There you go.
For burning them under their own. Okay. I appreciate the presentation. Appreciate the information. Look forward to the numbers.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah, good presentation. I like the pie chart breakdown. And of course, labor costs are really very high in maintenance. And I know, in the last few days, I've got some maintenance issues I put into, your crew and your department. And, I know that you guys are a hardworking group. I think you lead well, and I know that we've heard presentations from you about, the low cost of you present to the county generally compared with other jurisdictions. So how are you making out with personnel? Are you staff where you should be, or you really need a couple more people?
I might need to defer to the GM for that question, but we're actively working on it. Absolutely.
Bill, email your question.
Yeah, I had an email on this forward. I sent to Councilman Tackett on a question about why is this happening? From the top of my head. This is the presentation I get to give every budget season, it seems like. We started off with, I think, four. We have 474
personnel figures, we're down to 390. 26 of those positions were parts people.
Okay.
And parts are much
harder. No,
the service is much harder. So we are doing the best we can with the numbers we have.
Now, I know Paul's very dynamic, and I know that he's a gung-ho type, and I realize, you know, you're hurting for personnel. We have, I think, over 250 parts in the system.
It's officially 248, but...
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, maybe in the next budget cycle, we should really try to focus on the front line, you know, park maintenance. Since I can tell you that, you know, it's one of my highest complaint factors with constituents, you know, the name of the park or, you know, what they're experiencing and that. But I do appreciate all your ability to perform in a situation where you're really, you know, very short a personnel you need.
Thank you.
I can't say any neighborhood parks because I don't have any. Councilman Smiley.
I know a lot of entities that have come into a problem this year, and I'm assuming we've hit it too. We had a problem with getting enough seasonal help and everything, fiscally with the health care requirements, all of that being thrown at us.
That was part of the problem. We got behind the power curve this year because there was mass confusion. We communicated with the city of Wilmington and the state. Because originally it looked as if the interpretation initially was that individuals could not work more than 28 hours or something like that, which just doesn't work for us. And crews go out and do things, and it doesn't make sense to bring the seasonals back. Probably about 6 weeks into the season, the county law department, and I gotta admit, I got so frustrated, I called IRS and spent 4 hours with them. I stayed in until 6 o'clock. If they were talking to me, I would continue to talk to them. And I got bounced around about four different offices. You know, I got to admit, everyone seemed to try to help me. But that's not my area, so you need to talk to so-and-so. So thank you very much, and you waited 25 minutes ago.
Yep.
They didn't seem to understand this game. This can't be a unique problem in Newcastle County. I mean, you know, there are people that we just need to bring during the summer for all intents and purposes to do that. County law did research and they came up with the concept, which is the way we used to do it. That we can keep, because it's hard to hire people. I can't tell you how many hours it's going to work. I can't tell you what's going to be 28 a week or 37 and a half a week. So finally, they came up with the 37 and a half hour. County, I think it's the code, or the police policy, which currently says seasonals can't work more than 9 months. I think they created a cushion of like 8 months. So give a bigger cushion so that to a situation where a period of trip for the health issue. But that did put us behind the power curve.
So at least until the federal government gives a different interpretation or something,
correct.
We're okay going forward and then work out. Because I'm not going to come to work for you for 27 or 28 hours when you go somewhere else.
Well, the conversations we had with the state, they had seasons for years and years. Because the state had started down that policy, right. And they said, no, I just can't do that, so it doesn't work. I don't know if they had something lined up or not. But it was a major concern.
Thank you.
Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think probably a lot of the problem runs into is the year moves on after the budget, as Councilman Cartier had mentioned, that, you know, they bring the budget in, the budget's approved, and it has all this in it. You know, it has the amount of employees they need. It's just as they move through the year, getting the ability to hire those employees and replace them when they leave seems to be the major issue. And the elephant in the room, it is what it is, but, you know, there's only one department in Newcastle County that's actually allowed to stay fully staffed all the time. And then
that's the PA department. And I was sent to Republican, we're coming to elephant records, we're only one Republican.
She wasn't
for you, Janet.
Anyone else have any questions? Did you?
Councilman Carter. Thank you, Councilman Tackett said. You know, we do pass a budget. There are funded vacancies, and I guess, you know, there are decisions made about, you know, what staffing is going to get met. I mean, if you get authorization for, you know, staffing on, say, parks maintenance, is it just a completely arduous process to go through to get hire, or is it, you know, is the strain on another level?
Wayne Merritt, Acting Town Manager, Special Services. If we have a certified list, there's a reasonable chance we're going to get the position filled. Unfortunately, it takes a while for a list to get certified. And in that process, let me give a shout out to HR. I used to have a person dedicated to my shop on HR. The person now is in my shop probably 2.5 days a week. And they're taking care of other responsibilities.
For her shoes.
Pardon?
Her shoes.
To me, it seems like a season. I get my own decision ultimately. You know, my season was there for at least 37.5 hours. And that individual is quite a bit more than it's necessary. But that becomes a big factor in, hey, I need this position, okay? You're working on it. You can't hire unless you got a certified list.
Councilman Tackett.
And I'll just add, too, to piggyback on that, you know, sometimes things happen that obviously we're not privy to, but I know we all, I believe, pretty much got the email from Candy where they were going to do a hiring in the department. For whatever reason, that got scrapped, and then we got an email from Candy where she just basically sent the exact same email that they were all going to repost everything again. So that in turn, I guess, put everything that was going on with that on hold, and that then prolongs the process.
Dave, did you?
I would, Dave Del Grande, Finance Office, just to add one little additional piece. Public Safety has a little bit of a different hiring process from all the other departments. They're going to hire 20 at a time for an academy, and those folks all go up in the ranks to Master Corporal without any kind of promotionary process. So you're talking about maybe 250, I'm just throwing a number out there, 275 employees who move through the system, but we're hiring a bulk. Annual. Positions like special services, they get a vacancy, they may have 50 right now. They post them. More than half the time, they're going to have an internal selection from someone who's been here in the ranks and moves up to the next position. So then that still leaves the same vacant, another vacant position open. So you're going through the same process for the same one position you're trying to fill a multitude of times, depending on how far down you have to go to fill the lowest position that was vacated. So the process for special services may take longer because you have to go through maybe 4 iterations of one posting to get maybe to fill one extra body for the department. Versus public safety, you can hire 20 people at a time because they're doing an academy. Same process for public safety, just a larger group, but it's just more paper for special services just to hire one person, if that makes sense. So the process itself is ultimately they're hiring a person, but it just takes much longer for special services because they're doing one person at a time, or one position at a time versus several at a time.
Janet, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
When we went through the budget hearings and we heard the frustration from the first department that came in to tell us how cumbersome this process was and how it goes back and forth between the same people, you get the authorization from them. You go to the next step, you have to go back and get the authorization again. And I remember Councilman Smiley, after that, asking every department what their impression of the hiring process was, and every one of them came back with exactly the same frustration. They didn't necessarily put it in their budget presentation, but when asked the question, every department in this county had the same issues as you're expressing here. So this is an overall problem that is not going to go away until we get rid of the process, which was not always the process. It is a newly implemented process.
Councilman Tackett?
I was just going to add that we've talked about this issue before around this table. We have suggested, you know, possibilities that you could be using, and although the police may call it a police academy, what we have tried to implement is called an apprenticeship program. And if you hired 20 at a time and brought them in and had them around, you also would have that ability to be able to move up and perhaps move a little faster, and then they could fill back the apprenticeship program.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah. I guess this is process of procedures and doesn't involve our authorization. But, you know, what I envisioned was, if I need someone for this position, it's going to be posted internally, and I get HR approval to fill that. That approval should entail an automatic right to fill every subsequent position that becomes vacant, because the person in step two moves to step one, three decides to go to two. I mean, that should be part of the initial approval. There shouldn't be a back and forth, as far as I'm concerned. There should be that a natural flow that should go. I got this one vacancy. It may end up with needing to fill five positions as it works through. It should all be part of the same chain, part of the same approval. So at least it can knock some time out of it, and you don't have to run the risk of you making somebody mad during the third step process on the fourth, which could still happen. But that would make sense.
Dave's point, I shouldn't have glossed over, because it is a critical process.
Yeah, I got a question, too.
People can certainly compete from the outside, but the chances are, it's a rare person to kind of achieve two on the outside. So that person's probably MEO3, maybe an MEO2, could be a pretty cheap one. Or whoever that is, when I get the list, for that Gucci to make it. There's no list that currently, just because, and I go back to the HR process, there's no list that exists for anybody, you know, and so if I've got one opening, they've got to go through the entire process to fill that crew chief one or the MEO3 to backfill that position. And I guarantee you that's going to take 7-8 months.
Yeah.
You know, light speed.
Yeah.
And then if this works its way all the way down to the port, to the MNC, then there's no problem.
Councilman Reda, I did have one question. Of the part-time, how many part-time do you hire?
Part-time?
Seasonal, part-time.
Well, you have the largest group.
Yeah, in parks, we typically hire around 14.
14. But I guess just by what was said, I mean, if you got 20 people coming part-time, why don't we have that list? But
the seasonal's different than the
I understand.
Seasonal can be much quicker if you can put applications.
You can, all right.
There's a background that shows, like a small background, you just run the computer checks and they have some physical.
Councilman Reda and Councilwoman Dillard.
Thank you. A couple questions. One, Dave, you were talking about if they post a job and they process it. And I'm trying to think if Councilman Smiley was asking the same question that I'm going to ask. If you're having a posted job and it's internally taken, that snowballs right into the other positions, right?
Correct.
Well, why does the background have to take so long with the people we already have hired?
Well, Dave Del Grandi, if it's an internal selection, they're not going to do another background check on someone who's already a current employee.
But
it's,
I understand that, but it still takes a long time to put that person in that position.
Sure. Say if we need to backfill, say a crew chief one that was now crew chief two, Wayne's staff's going to have to go through the whole requisition process again, because now there's a whole new vacant position. So if there's not an eligibility list maintained, then an announcement will have to be posted for a couple weeks,
right.
And then they'll go through the whole process for hiring that crew chief one.
For the outside people?
No, for everybody. I mean, it'll
see, that's what I'm saying.
Everyone has to apply is treated just like a separate.
Well, here comes the other part. Councilman Tackett brought up about the apprentice program, and I've been on that thing for a few years now of trying to get it through. We have one, and it's just like a police academy. You can hire four or five people, do their background, then hire them to go in to the apprentice program. And that's not hard to do, because it's done every day in all trades. We're just not doing it. And we're having people leave, now we don't have anybody in the background that knows the job that they did. We have to train them all over again, because we're not doing the apprentice program.
Councilwoman Diller?
I was just wondering, you know, is it possible, well, it probably is possible, but to, you know, I mean, you probably predict the types of vacancies you're going to have. At the beginning of the year, does it make sense to just run a cert list so that you've got it already? I mean, then at least you have a list.
The Wayne Merritt, I can generate a question. We tend not to, because unless there's a specific opening, it takes a while to get that list created. That's the problem. It seems as if I ask for a position, and the short part of it is actually getting the position approved. Okay.
It's up to finance.
They say you can have the requisitions. So that starts the process. Once you've got created an opening, once you've got it open, you ask for it. But I have openings that I don't ask for, because I know I'm not going to all fill. The process just doesn't work that way. But again, I come back to my
age. Be much longer.
So this morning we had a conversation. We have probably 7 positions. We said we want her to do it. She said, which 2 do you want me to start with? Again, I've got her about 2.5 days a week. And having said that, there are a lot of other issues she's dealing with in the hiring process. If I had to say where the pipe is in March itself,
I agree. You gotta hire somebody.
That process, they advertise 2 to 3 weeks. They get 60 applications. They gotta go through those applications.
Yeah, but it was, but I was gonna go back to basic
criteria. Then they have an opportunity to challenge if they're wanted to push out. And then there's going to be a test run. Then it's trying to get the boards together. Is that somebody that you got working for you that's going to have to take time away from their work? I can't do it this day. I can't do it that week. It's fraught with cracks.
I remember the HR
department. Councilman Smalley.
I remember the HR department. They had to take about doing their own department. You get HR
organization. Yeah. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Well, and again, I think we go back to what was explained to us in the budget process about how this is now working, because the HR department stood up here and explained that the executive branch says, yes, okay, then you have to go to HR, then you have to go to finance to figure out where the money is, then you have to go back and get authorization again, then you have to go back to finance again to make sure that the money is still there. That it's these double and triple back and forth that you never ever seem to get to the point of actually being able to hire somebody.
Councilman Smiley.
And I guess my frustration is when we go through, and every department goes through the process of the lengthy budget hearings and the ratification of a budget, if we've done a budget that funds the department, then that should be it. Should not exist. I got my budget. Here's my vacancies. These vacancies are funded. I should be able to spend that money unless there's been a piece of legislation put forward that they would be aware of, saying that they're removing this funding for this position to use it over here. That, to me, that whole first step saying, yes, it's okay, that was done as part of the budget process.
And she explained and that being, this was a new process.
Exactly. It's redundant, holding everything up to continue through getting the proverbial magic wand wave to say, oh my God, you do have a vacancy.
Dave.
Dave Delgrani, Finance Office. Just for the record, the Finance Office is a part of the holdup essentially. I've been getting beat up a lot.
No, we're looking above it.
Must be a Republican up there someplace.
We're just checking to be sure the fund is the positions actually exist and that there's funding for it. And that's essentially it. It rolls through our office.
But they gotta be told okay before that ever gets.
I really appreciate it.
My point being, we've already said that's okay. Yeah, let Coop go on another day before we take it.
Funny how he takes Tuesdays, isn't it?
Well, actually, he checked his answer machine and had a doctor's appointment.
Again? Did you get that taken care of?
Councilman Cartier.
I guess it's very convoluted. I mean, I guess there are two concerns that I have. Number one, we have certain frontline functions that we should make sure in this coming budget cycle that we get, some staff and get some, work accomplished. And I think the parks thing is one of them, okay? And we got to just go through the budget process and figure out how we can structure it so that, we get some hiring. And especially, I guess the frustration too is, honestly, we want to diversify the county workforce. This isn't a process that helps that. And maybe we need to do a special class and get some hiring done on an apprenticeship basis and bring some people in and give an opportunity, a shot to, rise through the system in county government. I mean, we certainly have, funded vacant positions, and then we just run into this situation where, Ball's group is just, barely getting by and not having, basic, staffing levels to really do the kind of parks maintenance that we've got to do. I mean, I can keep Paul busy and Brandywine 100 in my district, easily keep him busy with all the issues we have. But, he's dealing with, the whole department's dealing with all the parks we have to attend. That's the one area where I see, besides police, code enforcement, it's also parks maintenance. So maybe there's an opportunity here to really make an effort in the next budget cycle to really staff it make a serious increase in our staffing since we've gone all these years with so little.
I don't have any parks, so what do I need them for?
My hires for this year and my commissions this year. This year I have promoted 6 people, which is 2-4 NEO2. So we have an NEO2 cycle, one trades on it. Those 6 promotions, 3 minorities and 3 white. We were able to hire, those are promotions under new hires. We were able to hire 6 people. Auto mechanic, maintenance and construction worker, civil engineer, 2 NEO2s. So that list has a multitude of people. And we were able to hire 6. We had to hire 6 NEO2s. And a trades helper. And those 2 minorities.
Council President Chris Bullock is present.
Thank you.
And Councilwoman Kilpatrick smiling.
Thank you. Going back to Councilman Cartier's position, it isn't the staff, it isn't the number of staff in the budget that's the problem. It's getting them hired. If you have 30 vacant funded positions, it's not that the positions aren't there. It's getting the permission to hire them that is the problem. So I don't see it as being the budget process that's at issue here. I see
just
the
going on and on.
That's at issue.
It's
here.
These two.
The process. I understand the hiring process has certain permission steps, but if you don't have the list, you're not asking for it.
Right.
It's a wish.
Councilman Smiley.
Just gave you what you did during the year. You find your
calendar?
15 calendar.
Okay, because I'm saying, that's pretty damn good, because the fiscal year just started July 1. You've been busy. So if we could keep going, we'd be full. All right, that's why I just wanted to clarify that, because I know
that would be an issue.
I know later tonight, somebody's going to be sitting there and say, damn, he's not doing that bad. He's only been 2 months.
That would be a dream.
Okay, and the other part, as you said, when you were going, itemizing, you know, what you've done, and then clarified when you said either hired or promoted, because each one that was a promotion left behind it another vacancy.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's just the point I wanted to make.
It's not quite that much.
If you promoted 8 out of 10, you're still 6 in the hole.
If I hand you this,
sorry, the new hires didn't take anybody.
I feel like a giant.
Right, exactly.
No, there's some big Chinese.
And
you feel like a giant.
I understand how it works. I actually,
there's some big
had
giant.
Had enforced contracts because someone could take the promotion and ask for that 90 days to go back.
There's some.
They didn't like it. They told about a night ago when they changed their mind and then it reversed bumped it. And everybody went back where they belonged and then started over again.
Yeah,
so that would take 2 years ago.
So we're going
to do. Okay, yeah, I said the year I really needed to clarify.
I have 3 parks in the country.
We're all fine about it.
He's got to give the permission.
All right, any other questions from council? Any from the public?
Motion adjourned.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Hey, George, I'll leave that there in case you want.